Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening,
sir. So I hear some of you are going to be camping out in the woods tonight.
Amen.
I'm sure you're looking forward to that. I hope that you build good shelters and that you don't have to test them against the rain, too. Well, we want to continue where we left off. But first, we should review. You know, I think that if we review, at least you'll remember the first couple nights, right? Because we review those every night. The first night, we looked at Joseph, and what type of man did we say he was? A sent man. He was sent by God, and so are each and every one of us. And then we saw something else. We saw that on the way to Egypt, what did he do? He surrendered, didn't he? He was a sent man, but he surrendered fully to God. But in addition to surrendering, what else did he need to do?
Trust.
He had to be a trusting man as well. And then last night, and I don't think I used the adjective that I was using to describe Joseph until the very end. Do you remember what I was describing him as?
Steadfast,
very good. He was steadfast in the face of temptation. Well, you know, there's something else about Joseph while he was in Egypt. And if you want to turn to Genesis 39, the Bible gives a very interesting account of everything that Joseph did there. Genesis 39 and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was, what type of man does it say he was? A prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. We read later on, and I think we mentioned it last night, that he prospered so much that what did his master commit to him? Everything, didn't he? The master committed everything to him because he saw that whatever Joseph did was blessed. Joseph is accused falsely, and as he's falsely accused, what happens to Joseph? He's sent not just to a comfortable jail that we have here. Has anybody ever seen a jail in another country? Right? Are they as nice as the jails here?
No,
they're not. It's true that no jail is nice, but from the jails that I've seen here, they're a lot nicer. In fact, they're very comfortable compared to some of the other jails that I've seen in other countries. And we would not call it a jail. I think we would call it a dungeon. He was sent to a dungeon. And as he's in this dungeon, what happens to him there? Before the dreams. Let's go to the end of Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph, and shewed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph goes now to the dungeon. And as he's in the dungeon, apparently he was afflicted fairly severely at first, from what Psalm says. But afterward, it tells us something. What happened to him in prison? Did he prosper in prison? He prospered in prison. Now, that's not a place where you expect them to be prospering, is it? And notice it says that the keeper of the prison, what did he commit into Joseph's hands? Everything. Does that sound kind of like Potiphar's household? Yeah. Do you suppose that Joseph just had a golden touch? Did he just have anything he touched turned to gold? Was that it? Why did whatever he did prosper? Why was that the case? Because God blessed him. But not just because God blessed him. God blesses us, and that's the most important ingredient in the equation. But there's something else. Do we need to cooperate with God? I'm curious, how many of you remember reading, I'm sure you don't read it now, but how many of you remember reading the Our Bible Friends books? Very good. Okay, I think you're going to know what I'm going to refer to now. We became Seventh-day Adventists when I was about 13 or 14, so I don't remember reading them as a child. I didn't read them as a child, but I have children. I've read them many, many times now. And they probably have them memorized better than I do, but it's gotten into my mind a little bit too. And there's two stories about Joseph. And when Joseph goes to Egypt, it says something about Joseph there. It says he did his work well. And when he swept, he always swept in the corners. Do you remember that? Is there a reason we do inspections of tents here? Do we always sweep in the corners?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope so. Let's remember Joseph when we're sweeping tomorrow, okay? Not just did God bless everything that Joseph did, there was a reason that God blessed everything that Joseph did. And what was that reason? Because Joseph was faithful in the littlest of things. If we are faithful in the little things, do you think then that that will prepare us to be faithful in the larger things? Let's go to a verse in the book of Proverbs. I'm sure you know this verse as well, but I think it's very aptly fulfilled in the life of Joseph. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before whom? Kings. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean, or that would mean average men. Solomon says, do you see someone that is diligent in his business? Do you see someone that always sweeps the corners? Do you see someone that is faithful about those little details? Because if you see someone that is faithful about the little details, He will not just be an average individual. He will stand before kings. And I think I can add, she will stand before kings as well. Did Joseph stand before kings?
Yes, sir.
Joseph began as a slave in Potiphar's house. Now, when you begin as a slave, and when you're the new kid on the block, so to speak, do you normally get the important jobs? What jobs do you get? The ones that nobody else wants, right? Joseph started doing the dirtiest, most unpleasant, most unwanted jobs. But he did them so well that others said, "This is a good worker. We need to give him more responsibility." And so they gave him some other job, and they gave him some other job until Joseph was taking care of the entire house. And Potiphar was an officer of the king, and so this was not just a small household. He's sent to the dungeon unjustly. And once again, could Joseph have said, "Life has been unfair to me"? Could Joseph have said that? "I'm in a dungeon. I'm just going to sit in my dungeon cell and not do anything." But is that what Joseph said? No. Joseph did, once again, he was in prison. He now did the most menial jobs in prison. But Joseph performed them with such diligence and such faithfulness that pretty soon the officer of the king in charge of the prison which, by the way, just a side note here, it describes Potiphar as the captain of the guard, and it describes the king's baker and butler as sent to the captain of the king's guard as well. It's possible, I don't know, but it's possible that Joseph may have been under Potiphar again in the prison. We don't know for sure, but the same description is used. But he does so well in prison that he's in charge of the prison. And then the king looks throughout the circumstances that developed. He looks throughout the land of Egypt and says, "We need somebody that is so diligent and can take care of this country so that when the famine comes, we will be safe." And they look throughout the land, and who do they find that is the best candidate for this job? Joseph. Because of Joseph's faithfulness in the little things. Go back to Genesis chapter 40. Not only was Joseph faithful in the jobs that he was asked to do, but Joseph went beyond the call of duty. Genesis chapter 40, notice verses 6 and 7. The context is that the baker and the butler here have had dreams in prison, and Joseph comes into them. Verse 6. "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were," what does it say they were? "Sad." Now, Is prison the place you go to find the happiest people normally? There could have been a lot of people that could have rightly been sad, right? Joseph among them. But they were troubled. And notice what Joseph says, verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? What was Joseph trying to do? He was trying to cheer them up. He was serving. Now keep in mind, he is now in charge of the prison. Here are some new prisoners that come. So once again, they receive the most menial jobs. And Joseph, in charge of the prison, is serving the lowliest of the prisoners. And he was seeking to make them, to encourage them, to bring a blessing to them. The secret of Joseph's experience and of the prosperity that attended him in whatever he did was Joseph was always serving diligently. Joseph was not just a sent man, not just a surrendered man, not just a trusting man, not just a steadfast man, but Joseph was a serving man as well. Serving faithfully in the smallest of things. And the ones that God can use in the greatest manner, in the greatest degree, are those that serve the most faithfully in the least of things. Joseph serving the least of the prisoners that had come in. Does that remind you of anybody? Who it reminds me of. Jesus came to be a servant of servants. What is a servant of servants? Is it just one of Jesus' titles? A servant of servants is the one who serves the slaves. Serving the lowliest. Jesus came to serve us. Jesus came to serve us whether we were born in a mansion or born in a barn. I was in Ethiopia just a couple weeks ago. And as I was in Ethiopia, we were visiting some of the people in their homes. And I was very interested to find out that almost everybody in Ethiopia, at least in the rural areas, is born in a barn because they live in a barn. The cows and the goats and the sheep are on one side of the house and the kitchen is right next to it and then the bed is right over here. But it doesn't matter what position we're in. Jesus came to serve us. And one of the most beautiful things, we won't look at it, but it's in Luke chapter 12. Jesus tells a parable. It's in about 32 to 36, right in there. And Jesus tells a parable, and he says that he's talking about being gathered together to the marriage of the Lamb, and it says that he will serve them. In the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will serve you and me. Jesus calls us, like Joseph, to be faithful in service, to be diligently serving one another. And those that are diligently serving one another are the very ones that God can use the most in his service. It was when Joseph served the lowliest of the prisoners that Joseph was elevated to the throne. And as I think about Joseph, sent by God, surrendered, steadfast, I see a young man that's sweeping in the corners, sweeping under the cots. A young man that's being faithful in the lowliest of service. And when God sees this young man that's in the faithful in the lowliest of service, God says, I can use him more and more. I want to be faithful in the lowliest of service. Do you too? Do you want to be not just sent, not just surrendered, but do you want to be a serving young man or young woman as well? That's the experience I want. May God make us faithful. Faithful and diligent in serving one another. Let's pray together. Why don't we kneel together as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Joseph. We thank you, but even more importantly, we thank you for Jesus that came to serve us, to serve the servants. And we pray that you will teach us, that you will help us to be faithful in service, faithful in serving others. And we thank you, we pray for your blessing upon each of us here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right. Do any of the leaders for any of the wilderness classes, James or Kevin, have any instructions you'd like to give to the group? James, do you have any instructions for the people who are in either of the survival classes?
I have a quick announcement for girls that are staying for the second week. If you have laundry that you need to be done, that have done for next week, this is girls that are staying for the second week. Make sure you have your marked laundry, your name marked on your laundry, and put it on the girls in the girls' shower block porch tomorrow morning before breakfast. Okay? So, ladies, take note of that. Guys, you'll have your chance on Sunday.
Okay. I just checked with James here. For those who are with Wilderness Survival, most of you brought your things down, but if you need to go back to your camps, particularly the guys who have a little bit ways to go, go ahead and do that. Go back up and get your things. Not just yet, but you'll want to do that. And then reconvene back here, and then your leaders will take you where you need to be. Okay. The dwellers of the teepee this evening will be the Messengers of Light. So congratulations. All right. I would like to dismiss the gentlemen. Let's go ahead and move quickly up the hill. Okay, let's move quickly. Gentlemen's units. All right, and ladies units, you are dismissed. Have a good night.